Welcome to Yara's Grow the Future podcast. Yara is the global leader in crop nutrition knowledge and a producer of quality fertilizer products. Grow the future with Yara.
Hello again and welcome from me, Ken Rundle. As we get deeper into the autumn, the livestock folk across these islands are focusing ever more on their winter keep and feeding programs. But that doesn't mean they should forget their grassland, because while there not be too much to do with fertilizers at the moment, there are other things to consider. And to help me consider them, I've Yara's well-known grassland specialist, Philip Cosgrave. Philip, you're always out and about meeting farmers. What's your take on this season's grassland story?
If we remove the blip at the end of May and June, where obviously grass growth suffered because of that dry spell, it's been a very good year for grass growth. The issue has been more to do with the utilization of that grass and that weather conditions, rain levels in different parts of the UK and Ireland have left it quite difficult in many cases to utilize that grass. And we're still seeing, into September, above average levels of grass for this time of the year, and even in here to October. And if we look at the Grass Check GB infographics that come out every week, we can see that pretty much most of the UK is above the average grass growth levels for the year. So yes, it's been good, but at the same time it's been difficult at stages to utilize that grass.
Almost the opposite of the arable experience.
Yes, and I guess this just shows you, I suppose, that rainfall is a limiting factor a lot of the time on grass, and I suppose that has made it very difficult for arable farmers. And I suppose we sometimes tend to think of them separate as an arable farmer or a grassland farmer or a livestock farmer, but as we know, a lot of arable farmers have grassland and vice versa. And I suppose one thing which I've noticed is that because of that later harvest and the more difficult conditions, I suppose, to try and get crops harvested in, that it has probably delayed the use of some kind of forage brassica crops or catch crops that farmers might grow to kind of keep livestock grazing out for longer. In some cases, those crops won't have been planted at all. So it'll be interesting to see how that affects those farms that would have normally had probably more of those kind of forage brassica type crops sown, or maybe they have them sown, but they're not just going to have the same yields as before. They may not be as good as other years.
In a way, that sort of highlights the pressures on individual farmers as managers, trying to manage both their resources, both in terms of capital, but also labor and time and everything else. And you've got a philosophy. You told me earlier on about the sweet spot philosophy, where farmers perhaps got to restart really looking hard at their units to see, have they got something they can manage, particularly at a time when things come under stress, and we never know at the moment with such a variable climate and such volatile times when that's going to happen. Have farmers got something they can manage?
Yes, Ken, and it's become more of a focus, particularly in Ireland. There's the reduction of the nitrates derogation from 250 to 220 kgs in parts of the country, and it'll affect probably maybe 2,500 mainly dairy farmers. But it's just even across the UK, it's trying to find that sweet spot where the farm is carrying the right level of stock to be able to run comfortably and be able to take these, be a more resilient farm, and that it's able to take those periods, as you say, of whether it's weather, whether it's of forage stocks, that it's able to weather those periods more effectively. And also, if you have a farm that's overstocked, or it does put extra pressure on labour, and labour is such a huge problem on many farms, and finding it and holding on to it is a problem. So if you have a farm that's constantly on the edge, it means that you may find it that labour is just that little bit harder to keep on your farm. So it's certainly something to watch out for, that we need to build in that kind of level of a safety net with regards to our stocking levels.
I mean, it's something presumably our grandfathers and great grandfathers knew all about, because everything for them was manual labor, etc. We then, more recent decades, have been with technology, tractors, machinery, plus all the chemicals, etc., been able to kind of, in some cases, override that. But that's as you've just mentioned, becoming less now as the environmental inputs, resources crack in, and it is something that we've got to take account of. But I suppose the difference between our great grandfathers and us is that we do have technology, we do have sensors, we do have all kinds of data gathering machinery to help along that way. In other words, there's more information. It's not just a case of looking at the weather or going by old wives' tales. We've actually got hard data to work off.
Yeah, and it's important, I suppose, that farmers use that technology and are not shy in kind of incorporating it on their farms, because we even see, and maybe we think of technology there's a lot of technology that we're using, and maybe we don't think that it is new technology. Like we've looking at even from perspective of managing grass and measuring grass, there are probably going to be changes in the years to come, whether it's going to be, where we can get very accurate grass growth readings or biomass readings from paddocks from satellite, or whether it's going to be virtual fencing. I think there's going to be a lot of new technologies, in the coming years, that's going to make it easier to manage our farms. But certainly, we kind of have to take a lot of information into account when we kind of come up with, this level of this stocking level that's going to suit our farm for most years.
What other things should farmers be thinking about as they try to extend their grazing opportunities, particularly if we have a mild back end?
I suppose the first thing is you're kind of nearly looking forward, or you're how you're managing grassland, particularly your grazing platform now is with an eye on the spring, and that I suppose at this time of the year we should be looking to we should have a number of paddocks closed off at this stage, and it's important, I suppose, to point out, and I've seen a stat there recently that for every week that we delay our closing, our closing rate in autumn or at this time of the year, it reduces grass supply by 100 kgs of dry matter per hectare in the spring. So it's really important that the paddocks that we're closing now, that we start closing now, and it's I suppose we would like to get a point that we have about 2/3 of the farm closed by the 1st of November, but the paddocks that you're closing now are going to be the paddocks that you are going to graze first in the spring. So ground conditions have a big part to play on which on the paddocks that you're going to graze now, but those paddocks that you're closing off now should be those drier paddocks, paddocks that have got good grazing infrastructure, so good roadways, a couple of different access points and exit points, and they're the paddocks to be closing off now, so that you're giving them time to recover and to have a decent level of cover then come the time when you want it first in the spring, when cows start calving or you start lambing. And then when you get into the end of October, early November, when you're closing off the last third of your farm, well then you're looking at, I suppose, those more difficult paddocks, those paddocks that are maybe further away from the yard, maybe soil types that are not just as dry, maybe those heavier soil types, and maybe paddocks that have grass that maybe they're older lays that maybe don't perform as well, and that it's unlikely that they're going to provide enough early growth to be grazed early on in the spring.
Presumably soil testing and nutrient plans are the kind of things that should be on folks' minds as well.
Yes, and maybe it's soil testing. We would kind of recommend that we soil test at the, you know, it'll depend on farms, but we should be kind of soil testing at the same time every spring. So if you're a farmer that has soil tested previously in early autumn, well, then you should continue to soil test in early autumn. Or if it's in early, you know, January time, then you should try and fit it in around about that time for a kind of a level of consistency. But yes, I suppose there is a requirement now for on pretty much all farms to carry out kind of a nutrient management plan for the following year, and having up to date soil test results is, I suppose, one of the critical pieces of information you need to put a kind of a good nutrient management plan in place.
I mentioned earlier that most fertilising opportunities are over till the new year, even with slurry and the various environmental restrictions now in place. But you're urging farmers not to ignore one particular object, and that's wastewater.
Yeah, wastewater or dirty water or very kind of dilute slurry. And generally, this will be just, it'll be dairy farmers that will have access to this, so from dairy washings and that, and yard washings. But that, you know, we're into October now. We wouldn't recommend the application of nitrogen fertilizer at this time of the year. But certainly, it does help that, you know, dirty water, dairy washings does contain a lot of nitrogen in it, and it's in a very available form because of the nature of a lot of it is urine, but it's a very low dry matter, so it percolates into the soil very quickly, and it can give grass a good boost at this time of the year. So we should be using that. We shouldn't kind of just be, you know, applying it just to get rid of it. But we should be targeting on paddocks that we know that are going to utilize that nitrogen more efficiently. So, you know, paddocks that are obviously soil conditions need to be good enough to get out with slurry tankers on those paddocks. But, you know, paddocks that are drier have probably, you know, new reseeds that are going to actually utilize that nitrogen better. And with a mind that, you know, some of these paddocks are going to be grazed early in the spring, but even paddocks now that have been grazed and tend to be grazed again, that they haven't just got into the last rotation yet, you know, definitely you could put some dirty water on those paddocks, you know, as long as you think that those paddocks are going to be responsive to that nitrogen.
Well, that's been short and sweet, Philip, but just in case any listeners have been distracted, what do you want them to remember?
The main thing, Ken, is, you know, closing up paddocks, beginning to, you know, you should have a number of paddocks closed off at this stage in preparation for the spring, you know, and it's vitally important that you know, we do have enough grass in that springtime for newly calved cows, but also freshly lambed ewes as well. So it's vitally important to be start thinking about spring already. The other thing would be, and we haven't mentioned it much here, but on farms that it's, you know, predominantly more silage based, that you know, it is certainly worthwhile to get those paddocks grazed off, and some farmers will be grazing paddocks off with sheep that bring in sheep for a month or two. But it's important that, you know, those sheep are not left on those fields for too long. It's been shown, there's been some work done, particularly with AFBI in Northern Ireland, that if you leave sheep grazing on them too long and they graze too tightly, that does affect yield the following year. And that's certainly something that we don't want to happen. So basically, we need to be careful with, particularly when sheep are being brought onto farms to graze off silage fields or silage paddocks, that those sheep are not left on those paddocks for too long.
Thank you, Philip Cosgrave. Some really timely advice there. Yara's country grassland specialist and expert on everything grazing. And let's hope we can squeeze a bit more feeding out of those paddocks and they don't get sabotaged by the weather. I'm back to Arable Talk next time, so join me, Ken Rundle, in a couple of weeks' time. Speak to you then.
Thanks for listening to Yara's Grow the Future podcast. For more information, visit yara.co.uk or yara.ie.